The Miami Heat has a new starting point guard. The Los Angeles Clippers have a new shooting guard for the time being, for the next 3 weeks or so. And Derrick Rose has a tummy ache. Adam Azer, Sergio Gonzalez with you on the CBSSports.com Fantasy Basketball Podcast. We'll get to your emails and your tweets later. You can tweet Sergio at CBS Gonzalez, G-O-N-Z-A-L-E-Z, and email us DM, fantasyhoops@CBS.com, D as in Desmond, M as in Mason, fantasyhoops@CBS.com. Let's get to the show. It's Thursday, January 27th, and we're going to help you set your lineup for Fantasy Week 15, which begins on Monday. There are four teams playing two games, Sergio, and then the rest of the league plays either four or three games. The Bulls, Warriors, Suns, and Sacramento Kings play two games. So I'll ask you this. What do you do with Derrick Rose? First of all, he's a little under the weather, and he's got two games next week. Would you start him or DJ Augustine for four games?
Well, it depends. You definitely want to monitor the situation over the course of the weekend. As Adam alluded to, he's dealing with some stomach ulcers, which he says have been forcing him to really not be able to eat solid foods over the course of the last week. So that's obviously something that might weaken him. If all things are equal, I actually think Derrick Rose is one of those rare players that you can actually start in a two-game week. His monster numbers in terms of scoring and assists and even some rebounding can give you more than enough in two games. But if he is at all less than 100%, I'm going with DJ Augustin there. Augustin, a guy that you pulled out there, has great matchups for Charlotte this week. So I expect him to put up a solid scoring period.
Some of the teams that have great matchups: Milwaukee, Memphis, Utah, Portland, Indiana, and Atlanta. So if you have fringe guys on Milwaukee, Memphis, Utah, Portland, Indiana, and Atlanta, this could be a good week to start them. Teams with poor matchups other than the four teams that play two games: the Knicks, Pistons, Rockets, Wizards, Clippers, and Cavaliers. Back to the starter sit game. Monte Ellis for two games or Ray Allen for three games? You know, something's troubling me with Monte Ellis a little bit. He's kind of getting back to the old shoot the ball 29 times, don't really pass the ball too much. His field goal percentage is a little bit down in the month of January compared to December. Would you start him for two games or Ray Allen for three?
Well, I think you made a lot of the case there. I think you have to go with Ray Allen. He's got the extra game. He's hot himself. I think his matchups are better this week. And as you mentioned, Monta Ellis has been in chuck the ball mode. So the extra game, the fact that Ray Allen's hot, I'm going with Ray Allen.
David Lee for two or JaVale McGee for four? David Lee is playing pretty well. You know, he had been a bit disappointing, but he's starting to look more like that fantasy stud we were expecting. His numbers in January: 55% from the field, 85% from the free throw line, 18.5 points, 9.4 rebounds. So Lee for two or JaVale McGee for four?
You know, the reason he's been getting better, and we're talking about David Lee here, he's healthier. He was dealing with lingering back issues. He's kind of getting over that. He's dealing with that huge gaping hole in that elbow that he's got. That seems to be getting better. So the fact that he's healthier is leading him to produce the numbers that fantasy owners drafted him for. I think with two games and the fact that JaVale McGee is himself a little bit banged up going into the weekend, all things being equal, I'm going to go with David Lee with what he can do in two games over JaVale McGee, who's a little bit inconsistent.
Kyle Lowry for three games or Jason Kidd for four?
Jason Kidd for four. Jason Kidd for four. Kyle Lowry's kind of a ticking time bomb in fantasy because I think as Aaron Brooks starts to get healthier, he's going to take a chunk out of what Kyle Lowry can do. He's been excellent. The injuries to Kevin Martin and Aaron Brooks have provided him an opportunity to play big minutes, but as those two guys get healthier, I expect his production to decline.
Lamar Odom for three or Sean Marion for four?
I don't think Sean Marion, over the course of the last five games, I think he's averaging 9 points and eight rebounds. I don't think that can outperform what Lamar Odom could do even with the three games. He's averaging around 15 or 16 points with around eight rebounds. And I think Lamar Odom, even with one fewer game, can outproduce Sean Marion.
How about Lamar Odom for three games or Gerald Wallace for four games?
Gerald Wallace. He's out underperforming what Gerald Wallace does. But if you look at his numbers over the last five games, he's averaging around 12 points and 8 or 9 rebounds per game. And I think the extra game there, I give him the edge.
I'm going to give you four guys who play four games next week. You tell me if you're going to start or sit them in most leagues. Rudy Fernandez.
I am going to start him in deeper leagues. I think what he's doing right now is a three-point shooter, and adding to that, even in rebounds and assists, I think he can start in deeper leagues.
Derek Favors.
Derek Favors, too inconsistent for me. Really, really deep leagues only.
You know, he took a shot yesterday that – did you watch the game
yesterday? Yes, I did, unfortunately.
It was so off.
Yes.
No, they won yesterday, didn't they?
Yeah, but it's still tough to watch the Nets.
Yeah, they're playing better.
Yeah, they are. But they're beating the likes of the Cleveland Cavaliers. And
they almost beat the Mavs, though.
They did.
They beat the Pistons, right, recently?
Yes. Well, with the Pistons.
But the Pistons are playing all right, too.
They're playing okay, but it's not the –
Look, I'm just trying to make you feel better.
Okay, thanks. I appreciate it.
Yeah, but Favors, you can see he's got some work to do, but it's still, there's talent.
He's raw, there. But, I mean, he's 19 years old. So in within the next few years, I think he'll be a double-double guy consistently.
So I'm sorry. I forgot the answer.
Only in deep, deep leagues because okay. I still think he's too raw.
How about Roy Hibbert?
No, you know what? Now they're talking about – remember a couple weeks ago we were talking about mental health issues and him going to see a sports psychiatrist. Now Roy Hibbert's talking about his struggles being attributed to weight issues and the fact that
really?
He can't eat anything from McDonald's or else it goes right to his hips or something like that. So
what?
Yeah, he's out there. There's something really, really wrong with Roy Hibbert right now. I still think you have to be patient. Don't get me wrong. The numbers that he put up earlier this season and last season when he was at peak production make him worth your patience, but you definitely can't start him right now.
What about Mike Dunleavy?
Dunleavy's interesting. We found out today that Brandon Rush is going to be out probably for a couple weeks. I think that is going to lead to a boost in minutes and shot volume for Dunleavy, who is a well-rounded fantasy option, one of those guys that can fill up the box score in terms of points, assists and rebounds. I think an increase in playing time is going to do him a lot of good.
So we're
going to
look at some of the major storylines from around basketball and also the most added, most drop list and key injuries. We'll start with Mario Chalmers, who becomes the Miami Heat starting point guard, owned in 28% of leagues. He had 10 points and 9 assists on Saturday. That was his first start, and that was against the Toronto Raptors. But he played well. You'll take 10 and 9, that's for sure.
Oh, absolutely.
And 28% of leagues, this guy's out there.
Yeah, he's definitely a good ad in fantasy leagues, especially when you look at – he's one of these players that isn't going to knock your socks off because he's not going to do exceptionally well in any particular category. But if you look at what he's done over the last week and a half or so, the play that's earned him the starting job, he can produce a little bit of everything. He's actually averaging around 11 points, about 7 or 8 rebounds – I mean assists, excuse me, three rebounds per game, and he can help you in three-point shooting and steals as well. So as long as he's getting this type of heavy playing time, and it looks like Carlos Arroyo is becoming less and less of a factor there, I think he's one of those sneaky little helpers, especially for deeper category leagues.
The Utah Jazz, they're on a six-game losing streak. They are really struggling, and Jerry Sloan has done some lineup juggling. C.J. Miles starts one game. Andre Kirilenko comes back, starts on Wednesday, and played 37 minutes. But for Kirilenko, he had averaged just 24 minutes over his previous three games. So Miles did start on Tuesday, went back to the bench on Wednesday. What do you make of that situation?
I think it's definitely a situation that's still in flux. We heard Coach Sloan say after their most recent loss that he still thinks he likes Kirilenko more as a starter than as a reserve. He's still trying to figure out the best formula there to get the most out of both Miles and Kirilenko. But I expect Kirilenko to once again become the more consistent starter because I think Miles is a better player off the bench than Kirilenko is. Miles can still be productive as a starter or as a reserve, and I think both of these players have some mild appeal in the upcoming scoring period. They're one of our favorable matchup teams, play against high-volume teams like the Houston Rockets, the Denver Nuggets, and the Oklahoma City Thunder. So expect some high-scoring games for the Jazz, and I expect both players to be of some use.
If you are among the 16% of CBSSports.com fantasy players who own Randy Foy, then you could be in for some pretty good production over the next 3 to 4 weeks. As Eric Gordon is out with the wrist injury and Foy steps in his place, he has scored 15 points and 20 points in the two starts in Eric Gordon's place. What do you think about Foy? Again, only owned in 16% of leagues.
Definitely. Just like Mario Chalmers, a great add off the waiver wire, especially if you need guard
Who's
help.
Who's better?
Right now, if I'm in a regular head-to-head league, I'm taking Foy because I think he has more upside as a scorer. If I'm in a category league, I think I'm going Chalmers because he's more well-rounded.
Okay.
Both are good options in either format, but I definitely assign those guys to each category separately. I think that Foy is going to probably average in the neighborhood of around 13 shots per game for the next couple weeks. I think
Chalmers.
No. Point guard. Baron Davis. That's the guy. He's going to see an increase.
It was
in
like
shot
the $10,000 pyramid or whatever.
I was trying to figure it out.
Point guard.
Point guard. Davis, we've already seen in the first two games without Eric Gordon, his shot volumes have increased, and I expect him to become more of a scorer as well. But I think Foy is going to average in the neighborhood of around 13 to 15 points on a consistent basis for the next two or three scoring periods.
It's definitely not a $10,000 pyramid, right? Is it $100,000?
I think it's $100,000.
Yeah.
And this is from who would even watch
the $10,000 game show? O.J. Mayo played only 17 minutes coming off the bench on Wednesday. And you just have to wonder, is his value ever going to change? Is he going to get better? He is still owned in 85% of leagues.
Well, he's one of these players that keeps getting mentioned in trades, and potentially a change in scenery could do him a lot of good. Right now in Memphis, he just doesn't seem to have the same type of role that he had last season when he was a high teen scorer. If in the upcoming scoring period, we don't start to see a little bit of an uptick, I think it's time to give up on him. The upcoming scoring period, the Memphis Grizzlies play against the Minnesota Timberwolves, the Cleveland Cavaliers, and the Houston Rockets. All three of those teams average allowing over 104 points per game. So I expect some really high scoring games for the Memphis Grizzlies. I really like Mike Conley this week. But I also think a little bit of a sleeper is O.J. Mayo, who has scored in double digits in, I believe, four of his last five games. So if we don't start to see that uptick in the really short term, then it's probably time to give up on him.
So for Mayo, and you're saying, let's see how he does this week, but let me give you some options of guys that you could potentially drop him for, and you let me know if you would replace O.J. Mayo with. And again, Mayo's owned in 85% of leagues. Aaron Aflalo, owned in 75% of leagues. Who would you rather have?
Right now, Aflalo's more consistent.
James Harden, 46% of leagues.
I'd stick it out for this week with Mayo, and then if not, then this is one of the guys that I consider adding for Mayo.
Rudy Fernandez, 32%.
No, still Mayo.
And Tony Douglas, 23%.
Mayo.
We talked about David Lee and kind of becoming a fantasy stud, so we can move on from that. And I just wanted to mention the performances on Wednesday from Kevin Durant and Kevin Love in the same game. Durant goes for 47 and 18. And Love goes for 31 to 21.
Not bad.
Yeah, that's a great fantasy day. You just love to see that.
Those guys have a future in this league, I think. And I don't know if you caught this, but after the game, Durant tweeted that what's his name again? The kid from BYU.
Oh, Jimmer Fredette
is the best scorer in the world. In the same day that Durant himself scored 47 points, he said that Jimmer is the best scorer in the world.
So I actually did watch that game on CBS College last night, the BYU-San Diego State game, and I did not, unfortunately, make it to the end of the game, but it was awesome, and that kid is so good. He's
pure
a lot
scorer.
Like J.J. Redick. I think one of the announcers was comparing him to Redick, but he's got a much better handle.
Yes.
And he's really not... The mock drafts I've seen, he doesn't show up because he's not such a super athlete. So he's not. I don't think he's a lottery pick. Have you seen any mock drafts?
No, I think he might be an early second rounder because of the comparisons that we've seen to J.J. Redick.
But I just think he's such a more complete player than
Redick.
Absolutely.
I think he's better at creating his own shot, and he can actually penetrate, whereas J.J. Redick is more of a spot shooter.
Yeah, that kid's awesome. Right now, definitely one of the candidates for player of the year. And I know he plays for BYU, so there's a lot of you out there who might not have seen him. But if you ever get a chance to watch Jimmer Fredette, and you will in the tournament, don't miss that. Kwame Brown is owned in only 36% of leagues. This is a center, people, and it's hard to get centers. He has two straight double-doubles, and he pulled down 18 boards on Tuesday night. Are you big on Kwame Brown right now?
Yes, and that's because Paul Silas seems to be big on Kwame Brown. He's averaging around a double-double very quietly over the last couple weeks, and he's a player that is going to continue to see playing time. Really, he's not challenged by anybody there. Nazi Muhammad is not a factor anymore. As long as Kwame Brown can stay healthy, we like the way the Bobcats are being more of an up-tempo team. As long as he continues to see around 30 minutes per game and his playing time is increasing towards that level, I think he could be a solid sleeper for the second half.
And the last guy I wanted to mention was Earl Boykins. He has scored, maybe you're looking at box scores, he scored 19 or more points in three of his last five games, but you can't get too crazy about him because Brandon Jennings could be back this weekend, and that will obviously hurt the value of Earl Boykins. And that brings us to our injury report. And Jennings is one of the guys. I don't know if you want to add anything on him.
No, same along the lines of what you're saying. Keon Dooling has also been a stellar stopgap over the course of Jennings' absence. But as you mentioned, even with Milwaukee being one of our favorite matchup teams this week, you can't start Dooling or Boykins because of the specter of Jennings coming back.
Derrick Rose. So when is he, how bad is his illness? He's got ulcers and his stomach is hurting him. And he also said his back was killing him in a recent interview. So you got to worry that the workload might eventually wear him down a little bit, but what's the latest on Derrick Rose?
Right now he's day-to-day. The more troubling thing, I think, is the fact that he says that he hasn't been able to eat, and obviously something that we've experienced with all these players dealing with the flu this season, seemingly more so than in any of the years that I can remember they've been dealing with the flu. When players have been unable to digest solid food, it's really affected their stamina and them being weak. So if we see that over the course of the weekend and he's not 100%, we talked about the Bulls being one of the two game teams this week. I think he's a player you might want to use that as an excuse to sit him. You're going to get plenty of him down the stretch. Sitting him in a two-game week isn't really going to kill you.
Finally, Chris Bosh on the injury report. He's not going to play tonight, Thursday night, against the New York Knicks. We will also find out who's starting in the All-Star game tonight. All right, so I'm giving you a little assignment right now.
Okay.
By the end of the show, you have to give me your starters in the East and the West.
Ooh,
I know
okay.
I'm just throwing this at you. I'm going to do it too.
All right.
Don't worry. So it has to be based on the ballot. So you can't have Pau Gasol starting as your center in the West or
okay.
Tim Duncan because those guys are forwards.
Okay.
So Chris Bosh, are we going to have him for Fantasy Week 15?
It seems like he's not going. He might return and probably will during the scoring period, but he's not going to play a full week. He's not traveling with the team right now. Hasn't been able to go full tilt at practice because he's not been able to put a lot of weight on that high ankle sprain of his. Coach Eric Spoelstra said that he's not going to let him play until he sees him go full tilt at practice. They're not going to have another practice until, I believe, Tuesday, which rules him out for Monday's game against the Cleveland Cavaliers. So he's definitely going to be out through that Monday game. That leaves him three games in a best-case scenario. I think that makes him too risky in most standard leagues. But if you're in an average-based league, I do think he plays at some point in Week 15. Continue to monitor his progress carefully here on fantasynews.cbssports.com.
While you were chatting about Chris Bosh, I wrote down my five starters for each league. So I'll give you the opportunity to do that now as I'm going to talk very slowly here. Next up on today's show, most added and most dropped players. Sergio is contemplating
the East.
You're thinking about the East right now?
Yes, the East.
Okay, he'll start with the East. And some of the most added guys we've already talked about. Mario Chalmers is number two on the list. Randy Foy is number six on the list. Rudy Fernandez, number seven. So number one on the most added list, and I'm sorry, you're out of time for now, Sergio.
Okay.
Is Chuck Hayes. You got to talk about Chuck Hayes. His ownership is up 19%, up to 39% next week.
I think he's a player who, especially because he's eligible in center in a lot of leagues, is definitely a good value to add. He's quietly able to put up around 9 points and nine rebounds on a consistent basis. Houston Rockets are really banged up front, and they are leaning on him a lot more than we expected. I think he's a solid value add.
So Hayes or Kwame Brown? I think I asked you this last week, too, but Hayes or Brown?
I think Brown right now, you know what? It's a week-to-week thing. Who has the better matchups? I like Charlotte's matchups, who have four games this week, over Houston, who has the three games. So week-to-week thing, I like Kwame this week.
Kendrick Perkins is back, everybody, and he is he's actually number four on the list. I said Randy Foy was six. Randy Foy is five. Rudy Fernandez is six. And Kendrick Perkins is number four on the most added list, up from 22% to 39%. Actually, now that I'm seeing that he's only owned in 39% of leagues, I might go pick him up. That could be a steal.
Yeah, absolutely. He's a player who averaged in a breakout season of sorts last season, 10 points and eight rebounds with about a couple blocks per game. It's going to take him a while, considering the fact he suffered that ACL injury in the finals last season. Usually, historically, what we've seen is once a player gets back into the mix, it takes him about a month or so to get back into any semblance of game rhythm, game shape. So we're probably talking about a couple or maybe three or four scoring periods before Kendrick Perkins can get back to the type of player he was last year. But the fact that you're talking about a center out there available in a lot of leagues who can potentially give you around 10 points, eight rebounds, and a couple blocks per game, he's well worth the pickup.
So number nine on the list is a guy that we haven't talked about yet, Peja Stojakovic, Dallas Maverick. Still dealing with a bit of an injury. He hasn't played yet for the Mavs, but he is owned in just 12% of leagues.
He is a player who potentially could help fantasy owners in the second half. The Mavericks say they have big plans for him, are potentially going to put him into the starting lineup at small forward as they continue to try to fill the Caron Butler void. He's an excellent three-point shooter. He didn't get much playing time with the Toronto Raptors. He actually hasn't played in a month, so they're trying to work him back in slowly. It could take him a week or two before he gets his playing legs back under him, but especially if you're in a category leagues, his potential as a three-point shooter alone makes him worth a pickup.
Yeah. The problem is he just hasn't been that good for a while.
Right. Well, he hasn't been asked to play. He is,
but even when he was back on the Hornets,
sure.
Toward the end, he wasn't that good. Was he a good fantasy player?
You're talking like the last couple years?
Yeah, the end of his run with the Hornets. So he really trailed off.
But his role kind of, the Hornets didn't have that role available to him because they started going to other players along the wing. I think the Mavericks have more of a need. They need him to step up as a three-point shooter.
Sure.
So I think the role is there for him to produce.
Yeah, he's similar to a James Jones, right?
Yeah, he's worth a flyer. Put it that way.
DeAndre Jordan is on our most drop list for some reason. Dropped now down to 79% ownership from 85%. He is number 9 on the most drop list. Why?
I don't know. He is...
There's no reason to be down on him, right?
No. I think he's a player that Chris Kaman is on the verge of coming back, but right now he's not even going to start practicing until early next week. I don't think Kamen's going to be back probably within the next 2 weeks. So DeAndre Jordan, a player who's capable of giving you around 9 points and 9 rebounds on a consistent basis, an excellent shot blocker. We all complain about how hard it is to find good help off the waiver wire at center, and then we start dropping a player like DeAndre Jordan. So I really don't get it. I don't.
Also being dropped is Sean Marion. He's 17th, down 5%. Also down 5% is Richard Hamilton. These two guys, completely different situations here, but let's talk about Sean Marion first.
Well, Marion is a player who a lot of people started to drop after Dirk Nowitzki came back. His production did decline, and it was to be expected. But over the last few games, we've seen a little bit of a steady increase, quietly giving you around 9 points and 8 rebounds with decent three-point shooting. He's a player who can still be of value and shouldn't be discarded completely.
And Richard Hamilton has been discarded completely.
He has, yeah. In Detroit. And I think the only thing that can save him at this point is a trade, but we are getting closer to the trade deadline. Say he finds himself in a situation where a team has 25 to 30 minutes per game to give him, you're talking about a very good scorer still who just doesn't have the role in Detroit.
So now I'm going to do you a big favor.
All right.
I'm going to talk about your waiver wire column. You're not going to have to say anything.
And I'm just going
to
think.
You just sit there and think about your All-Star team. You can even take your headset off.
All right.
You don't want to get confused by anything I'm saying. So if you go on fantasynews.cbsports.com or go to your league on cbsports.com, you can see Sergio's waiver wire column. And he gives you the top options for Fantasy Week 15. Players available in 40 to 60% of leagues, guys including Brandon Bass, Thaddeus Young, Amir Johnson, and C.J. Miles. We talked about C.J. Miles a little bit earlier in the show. Those are guys that you can go ahead and add and feel pretty good about. Guys you should avoid, though, DeJuan Blair, Ed Davis. And then looking at if you're in a bit of a deeper league and you need guys available in over 60% of leagues, players you could think about adding, Anthony Morrow for the Nets. He is going to head back to the starting lineup soon. And Mario Chalmers, we talked about. Rudy Fernandez, we talked about. Omri Caspi is another guy you can look at. He is only owned in 26% of leagues. And then in Sergio's Stash'em category, guys you want to pick up maybe for the long term, not going to activate just yet. We discussed Peja Stojakovic, and another guy you can look at is Carlos Delfino. Sergio, are you ready?
I believe so. I'm struggling a little bit at one position, but we can talk about that when we get there.
All right, I'll go first. Eastern Conference is pretty easy to me.
Yes.
Rose, Wade, LeBron, Amare, Dwight Howard.
You just stole my starting lineup.
Exactly.
I think that's a lock pretty much. Now, right?
Yeah, but I remember asking Ken Berger two questions. I asked him Rose or Rondo and Kobe or Ginobili, and he went with Rondo.
But the thing is, I think the fact that Rondo missed the time that he missed, I think, rules him out.
I don't care.
It's head-to-head.
It doesn't matter.
Right. But you got to understand there's some politics involved with it's not always the best players that get to start at the All-Star game. It's popularity contest. It's what they've done recently. And I think Rondo being the Celtics point guard, the Celtics being who they are, kind of politically gives him a nod over Rose at times. I agree with you. I think Rose is better. But I think Rondo gets the nod because he is the Celtics point guard, and right now the Celtics are the it team.
You think he's going to get the nod, or you're saying he should get the nod?
I think it's even, and there's a discussion because of the political aspect of it. But
you and I are smart enough to know Derrick Rose is a better player this year.
And
it's not a knock on Rondo.
And I think Rose should be there right now, political things aside, because Rondo missed the time that he did. And if it is even, you got to give it to the guy who's been healthy.
All right. So
I think.
And it's not even to me. I mean, Rose has been the MVP of the league.
Sure.
Paul starts off my Western Conference All-Stars. Chris Paul, Kobe Bryant, Kevin Durant, Dirk Nowitzki, Nene.
Nene is the guy I was missing. It's hard to find a center.
Yeah, it's Nene. The there's Marcus Gasol. You know, Camby obviously takes himself out of the equation.
Do you start Powell at center? I guess you can.
Well, he is a forward on the ballot.
Right.
Bynum. Like, Bynum, I think, is going to end up starting.
Which I think is ridiculous.
It is,
because
he
missed. We just talked about Rondo and the time he missed. Bynum is even worse. I think if you start Gasol, and this is the little predicament that I was discussing earlier, it's either Gasol, if you can start him at center, or Nene, because really there's nothing
I don't
else.
Think you can start him at center.
Well, last year, Amari Stoudemire started at center.
But wasn't he on the ballot as a center?
Which is inaccurate.
Oh, you know what? You know what's going to happen? This is actually what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. Yao Ming is going to win the fan vote at center. And then after that, what happens? He's not there. So do they go to the next highest vote total? They probably do.
Yeah.
Or do the coaches select?
No, I think it's the next highest vote total.
Yeah. So it's going to be Bynum most likely.
Yes, which is ridiculous.
I haven't really been following the votes too closely.
Right.
But I imagine it'll be Bynum because who's going to vote for Nene? So center's actually a bit of a weak spot only because Tim Duncan, Pau Gasol, those guys are considered
power forwards. Right.
And there's so many good power forwards. And I will say, I believe LaMarcus Aldridge should make the All-Star team.
On merit.
Even ahead of Blake Griffin.
But I honestly think politics reign supreme in the All-Star game. He's not at the level yet where he can be considered an NBA All-Star starter.
Did you hear what I said? I thought you were going to freak out because I said he deserves to go over Blake.
I missed that part. That I disagree with.
I don't. I think this is the argument I made. I watched the Blazers-Clippers game last Thursday on TNT. And he outplayed Blake Griffin, and he kind of exposed Blake Griffin. And I guess if you watched Griffin more than I have, you are a Clippers fan, and you probably saw it on a more regular basis. But Griffin, as great as he is, still has a lot of work to do on the defensive end.
Sure.
And Aldridge was just a little bit too crafty for him, and it just got me to thinking. You know, the Blazers are in the playoffs right now. The Clippers aren't.
Mm-hmm.
What would the Blazers' record be if they had Blake Griffin instead of LaMarcus Aldridge? And I really think they'd
be
worse.
Better? Oh, I mean, you think it'd be worse?
I think they'd be worse. I really do. Aldridge has had such a good year, and they play one of the slowest paces in basketball, which is going to hurt his numbers.
No, I agree. I get what you're saying, but I think Blake Griffin, he's a physical beast, and I think he's gotten better as the season has gone on because he did miss an entire NBA season last year. And you have to kind of account for the fact that the numbers that he put up earlier this season, considering that, it's insane.
I'm not.
It's absolutely insane.
He is amazing. He's clearly the rookie of the year. He's going to make a lot of all-star teams in his career. But I do think that this year, Aldridge, even though his numbers are slightly worse, has actually had a better year than Blake Griffin. And I do think he's a more complete player. And I just look at everything that's gone wrong with the Blazers. Awesome. How are they still good? They're good because of LaMarcus Aldridge.
I agree. So your starter for the West at
power
forward?
No, he's not a starter.
Okay.
I'm just saying he's a reserve. It's Dirk.
Dirk, okay. Now we have the same starter power forward then.
Okay.
So you have Paul at point guard.
Yeah.
I have Paul. We have Kobe, obviously, at shooting guard. Kevin Durant, small forward. Dirk at power forward, and it's either Gasol if they let me. If I had a choice between – I have the ability to put in Gasol over Nene, I'm putting in Gasol. But if I am forced to find a pure center, it's Nene. It's kind of sad.
It's Nene over say, Marc Gasol. Maybe we're forgetting someone. I don't know. But you know how good the power forwards are? They're so good that Paul Millsap was not on the ballot.
Mm-hmm.
In the West.
And I think Al Jefferson is getting overlooked, but...
Oh, he might actually be listed as a power forward, too. I'm not sure.
He shouldn't, because Millsap is power forward, and Jefferson is...
Yeah,
center.
I know, but Tim Duncan is listed as
a
power forward,
it's very shady.
DeJuan Blair is the power forward there.
Right, it's very shady. It's very shady. I think Al Jefferson deserves it, but the fact that he plays in Utah, he's been very overlooked this year.
Oh, but you know what? He should probably go over Nene, right?
Yeah, I think Nene gets more attention because the Nuggets get more attention than the Jazz.
But I believe Al Jefferson is listed as a power forward. And maybe the one power forward, I think I've had this conversation before, I just can't remember if it was on this podcast or the NBA podcast. The one power forward is going to get overlooked the most and doesn't really have any chance of going, I don't think anyway, is Zach Randolph, and he's been an absolute beast.
Yes, and you know what, in our formats, he's center eligible, so if he could sneak in there at center, he could
great.
Go over all these guys, including Pau Gasol.
So, yeah, he's had such a good year.
Absolutely.
And last year, everybody talked about it. This year, not so much. All right, where are those tweets, Sergio? Here we go, I got them.
All right.
Send Sergio a tweet at CBS Gonzalez, G-O-N-Z-A-L-E-Z. First one comes from Chris Mamatag. Would you drop Hibbert for Gortat, or should I stash Hibbert?
We talked about this a little bit earlier in the podcast. I still think Hibbert is worth your patience. Listen, if Hibbert is burning a hole on your bench where he's losing you games because you need to pick up another center and you can't because you're hanging on to Hibbert, then yes, make the move. Gortat's a good pickup. But we've seen with the Phoenix Suns that Robin Lopez and Gortat keep going back and forward. That's not a long-term solution for you. Hibbert is worth it in the long term. But if he's causing you to lose games because you need to drop somebody, then yes, make the move.
C. Shane, I know I'm butchering all these names, so I apologize. C. Shane 8 was just offered Kidd for Vince Carter. Would you do that?
No, I want Kidd there.
Yeah, he was offered Kidd Vince Carter.
Okay, so yes, I would take Jason Kidd, absolutely. Kidd isn't a great scorer, but what he does across the board, assists alone, especially if you're in a category league, make him worth it. Vince Carter saw a boost initially for the Phoenix Suns, but we're already seeing some signs of that knee acting up a little bit, so I wouldn't get too attached to Vince Carter, especially not if you have a chance of snagging a number one caliber guard like Jason Kidd.
And the last one comes from Astro Ken.
All right.
I'm just simplifying the names. So they're ridiculous. I'm thinking of, okay, head-to-head league, 14 teams. I'm thinking of seeing if I can get Manu Ginobili for Paul Millsap. What do you think?
It's a fair deal.
I
think it's a fair. How?
I think that I would much rather have Manu Ginobili.
Yes, yeah, yeah. And he's.
I don't think it's a fair deal. I think if you can get Ginobili for Millsap, you do it.
Yes.
But I don't know that you'll be able to.
You think it would be rejected by the owner or the commissioner?
I think it would be rejected by the Ginobili owner.
I think it's fair enough. Ginobili's old, and there's the whole stigma of the second half swoon, considering his age, and the fact that the Spurs have a history of kind of resting their stars in the second half of the season as they build up for the playoffs. There's that, which might make this an open deal. Listen, it's like Adam just said. If you can get the deal, absolutely.
I guess it just depends on this. What is Paul Millsap? You know, is he the guy who's kind of struggling right now, or is he the guy who is pretty darn good? For up until a few weeks ago?
Right. It's really been a recent swoon, but it has been a sharp decline.
And as you said, it has nothing to do with Okur. It's
Okur.
Not his minutes.
And
he's just not playing well.
And let's say Okur starts to play more minutes in the second half, then that is another thing that kind of plays against Millsap. So you definitely, out of the two players, Manu Ginobili is the best.
Send us your emails at dmfantasyhoops@cbs.com. Sergio, thanks a lot. Have a good weekend, sir.
Same to you.
And I'm Adam Azer. Everybody, enjoy your weekend. We'll be back on, what do we do, Mondays?
Mondays.
Yes, I get confused. Fantasy baseball is on Tuesday and Thursday now. Fantasy basketball Monday.
Adam is the hardest working man in podcast showbiz. He does so many of these things. It is ridiculous.
There aren't that many guys in podcast showbiz.
You guys should definitely check out all the podcasts that Adam's on.
Yeah, you can check out our room in iTunes. It has all of our stuff. Just type in cbsports.com podcast. You should be able to find everything in iTunes and probably in Microsoft Zune as well, or on our website. Thanks a lot, everyone. We'll talk to you later.